Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is a pleasure to be with you again. It is Monday. We are here to talk Grizzlies basketball, and it's actually, we're here to talk about some exciting things, but unfortunately, it's not from what's on the court. The Grizzlies obviously now are 0-2, but we have plenty to discuss. Much of which we did not expect we would be discussing, you know, until what happened, you know, Sunday morning, obviously, in lieu of Saturday night's game. But here joining me is former Locked On Grizzlies host, Locked On Grizzlies emeritus, the wonderful Mark King. Mark, how are you doing this today, sir?
I'm good, man. Had a good Christmas. Hope everybody else had the same. I spent the last couple of days putting together kids' toys and being at their beck and call. But it's been a pretty good week so far, and it's been great. And excited to talk basketball.
Well, we always enjoy having you, and I figured that it would be a great time to have you back on. And glad to hear that you had a Merry Christmas again. Happy holidays to all of our listeners wherever you are. Hope you've been able to spend time in a safe manner with the ones that you care for, and that was a great holiday season. But of course, Grizzlies basketball is back. Now, the Grizzlies have started 0-2, but that's not the subject of conversation, that's been going on for, ever since Saturday night's game. The subject of conversation, is centered on Ja Morant and Trae Young. And both players had excellent games, but that's not the key to it. The key has been, Ja's comments after the game Saturday night, and then, of course, Trae's, attempt to portray Grayson Allen as continuing to be a dirty player. And we'll just lay it out to basically everybody knows Grayson Allen's history at Duke for, some semantics that are, unwarranted or, they have been dirty. Of course, Trae and Grayson, they had some beef that stemmed back from their 2018 summer league when they were drafted between Trae and the Hawks and Grayson and the Jazz. Well, it seemed to resurface when Grayson Allen and Trae Young were playing in Memphis during the preseason, Trae's push of Grayson behind the back. And now Trae is alleging that Grayson stepped on his ankle intentionally in a play in Saturday night's game. The other caveat to all this is throwing in Ja's comments after the game Saturday night when I asked him about, life was a little bit tougher in the lane against the Hawks than the Spurs, him talking about, he doesn't feel he's getting the respect and the calls that other players like Trae are getting. So, Mark, you've seen all this play out. Just your thoughts in general about this, I guess you may want to call it a rivalry, but all that's going on in lieu of Saturday night's game.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, obviously, for sure. I mean, I think that these two teams are very similar and obviously in youth and athleticism and so there are two teams that are, I'd say that the Hawks kind of mirror the Grizzlies and what they're doing and they kind of the Eastern Conference. So, there's a lot that there is going to be, I guess, quote unquote, a rivalry about. I mean, they have two really star point guards in Trae Young and Ja Morant. So there are a lot of similarities. When you get a team like that, there are a lot of similarities. They try to attack you in somewhat kind of the same ways. You're going to probably get some of those type of things in terms of rivalries and the two teams and how they play against each other. So, I mean, there's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, I haven't seen the play that Trae's talking about in terms of where Grayson intentionally stepped on him. I think Grayson's come a long way as not only as a player, but also as a person, from where he was at Duke and not only was, where he was with the Jazz and some summer league stuff, even some summer league stuff with the Grizzlies, he's come a really long way in terms of, how he, portrays himself on the court, how he reacts to things. So, I think that Grayson's done some dirty stuff in the past. I think that that's no doubt about that. But I also think that he hasn't really reacted how Trae Young has expected him to react whenever. And I think that the preseason stuff with Trae was a lot of him trying to goad Grayson into doing something stupid. And I think Grayson did a great job of just walking away. If anything, Dylan Brooks is the one that got in his face. So, I think that's just Trae Young trying to maybe start some stuff and maybe spark some, I guess, quote unquote, rivalry between the two teams. I'm not sure about that. But, I think that Grayson's done a really good job doing what he is supposed to do when things like that are presented to him. I mean, he just got to walk away. And I thought he did a really good job. And I think that Ja Morant has every right to be mad about the way the game went down on Saturday night, for sure. Trae Young had 17 free throw attempts. I mean, that's, again, the Grizzlies didn't lose because Trae Young had 17 free throw attempts, but it is a kind of a crazy stat when you have two point guards that are very similar in the way they play the game. They both try to attack the basket quite often, and Trae Young uses that to open up his three-point shot, and Ja Morant does the same thing, not necessarily with a three-point ability, but really attacks the basket. I mean, Ja Morant had eight free throw attempts, and again, Trae Young had 17. That's a big difference. That's a stark difference in the way you officiate the game, for sure. So, again, the Grizzlies aren't going to win that game based on free throw attempts and based on who did what. But Ja Morant has every right to be angry, especially the way he plays. He's much more physical. He's in the paint almost every single play. And almost every single play, he gets hit and knocked down throughout every single whole game. And so that's a difficult thing to kind of swallow. That's a difficult pill to swallow when you look at the way you play and you look at the guy across from you and he plays the same way and he's getting all the calls and you're not. I also think those will come in time. Ja Morant is a second-year guy. Obviously, with the first 40-point game of the season, I mean, he's got a long way to go in terms of getting those calls. They're going to come. They will eventually, and he'll get the respect he deserves. But until then, he's going to have to keep attacking the basket, and hopefully they come when we need them the most.
I'll say this. I got to witness Trae Young for the first time, on Saturday night, and it was an absolute, marvel. I cherished the opportunity to see Ja and Trae's performances. I'm very sad that there could not have been a full stadium there to just witness how both players played. And Trae Young is absolutely, magnificent. I can understand if people may not be, that big of a fan of the way he plays, because it's hard-esque and taking advantage of, the really quick whistles that are there for offensive players such as himself. But you can't deny how good he is at it. And you can't deny his resourcefulness, as a scorer. And just where he is in the NBA, he truly is one of the faces in the NBA along with Ja. And that's why I don't get the extra effort, the energy that's there on Trae's end as far as trying to create, extra stuff between him and Grayson. Like you said, Grayson handled it perfectly, walking away after the preseason stuff. He hasn't reacted today. It seems unnecessary. I won't get further into that. That is what it is. But getting to Ja and Trae, the thing also that kind of stands out to me is that I know that that's Trae's style. I know that that's going to happen with the type of player that he is. But the thing that just marvels me, Mark, is that Ja is actually the player that, goes more to the basket. Like, that is the strength of his game. And he's the one who obviously has more success when it comes to featuring that part of his game. So if he's going to the basket and something does not look right, if something throws him off balance or if there's clear contact and he's not getting the calls, that to me adds to the argument that there is the preference for others that he's not getting. And I completely agree with you. He was fully correct, 100% correct for, mentioning his feelings and throwing out there that there needs to be more respect put on his name and that more calls should certainly go him and the Grizzlies' way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he's going to continue to get frustrated. I mean, he got attacked the other night, and that's totally fine. Taylor Jenkins should be out there the one screaming that he didn't get calls. I would love to see Taylor, I would love to see Taylor take a fine in a post-game presser and really, stand by his point guard, because, the more the Grizzlies go along, and again, when they lose and in this fashion, it's hard to like argue that they should be getting more calls, the game should be officiated the same way, the whether it's a lottery team or whether it's a NBA finals team, and people cry about it the same thing. The game should be officiated the same way, whether it's the first 3 minutes or the last 3 minutes. So, I would love to see Taylor get out there and get a tech for Ja or take a fine in the post game presser. I mean, I think that's something you just gotta. We'll probably go a long way in the locker room too, just to know that I got your back no matter what, and I agree with you. So we'll see how it goes along. Again, I think the calls will come. I mean, Damian Lillard, if you remember, like when his first couple years in the league, he did the same thing and he never got any calls. I was talking with a Blazers friend of mine and it was the same way. I mean, in that kind of end of that middle second of the second year, end of the second year, start of the third year is when they really started to get the calls that he deserved. So again, I agree it probably shouldn't be like that. We all know their superstars get the calls that they want, and we probably know it shouldn't be like that. Everybody should get the same calls, and it's not. And unfortunately for the Grizzlies, they have a superstar in their hands, and so those calls will come eventually, and I think people will be better for it.
And you know, put whatever value you want into it. But you're right, Mark. The calls do happen for the stars. And I think John Morant knows that. I think this goes back to the point of his mentality and his intelligence continues to, you know, just marvel me and others, you know, you as well, I'm sure, at times, to where, you know, just how well he knows the game. He knows his status. He knows his style of play. And he knows he's on the way to being the superstar. I'm sure he considers himself already to be a superstar. And so he's going to do all that he can to create any advantage based on talent and mindset that he can. And he knows that in the NBA now, those type of players really can impact the game by getting to the line consistently. And so he, if he feels that he's to that status, he wants that same respect. So that's the other part of it. You know, we kind of got used to a style of play with Mike Conley. You know, he never got a technical. Everybody knows that in Memphis. You know, he didn't really raise a fuss. Well, with John Morant, a fuss is going to be raised because it needs to be raised for the Grizzlies to get the full advantage of his impact on the game. So it was great to see his reaction. You know, whatever comes of this Trey and Grayson stuff is fine. But at the end of the day, you know, hopefully it'll be put behind us and we can move forward with Josh starting to get the respect that he deserves. But of course, you know, go ahead.
No, the biggest difference between Ja and Mike, and again, I'm not going to – we've had a debate of Ja and Mike for a year now, and I'm not going to get into that. But, like, the biggest difference between Ja and Mike is that, A, Ja is a superstar. Mike is not. And, B, Ja know he belongs there. Like, Ja understands the concept of what – like you mentioned, a concept of getting those calls. And Ja also has this killer mentality to where – he knows he's better than you. When he looks at you and sees you in front of him, he knows that he can get around you no matter when, no matter what time, you know, part of the game it is. And again, he understands that he is probably the future face of this league, just like Trae Young understands that as well. And those guys know the calls they should be getting. And that just goes along. So that's why he's going to complain. That's why he's going to get texts. And that's why he's going to, you know, that's why he's going to bitch about it, just because he understands that he should be getting the calls just like Trae Young is getting the same ones. And I think that's the most frustrating part about Saturday's game, is that you look across the street or look across the bench and you see Trae Young and he's getting 17 free throw attempts and you're getting 8. It's a very different story.
And though it is a frustrating thing that came from Saturday night, I also think that it kind of is, you know, a positive. And the positive that's there is this, is, you know, kind of going off what I, you know, my last comments is that, you know, the talent's there with y'all, but the mindset, the desire, the competitiveness, the win at all costs type mentality that really allowed the aggressiveness, as he mentioned, you know, that's the change that's in his game this year, is the constant aggressiveness, doing anything in his power to be able to win. And I think that, you know, with the talent there, that's certainly a great thing. But when that mentality and that win at all costs type desire is there as well, that's what makes superstars superstars in the biggest moments. And that's what allows for them to will their teams to get to places that they're not expected to be. We saw it at times last year with Ja, and we've already seen it, you know, at higher levels in the first two games this year. If that continues, you know, as I mentioned on the last podcast, you know, here at Locked On Grizzlies, I truly think Ja Morant has reached that superstar status already that many of us expect he will, you know, have for many years to come. But, you know, one thing that's here now in the present is that despite the heroics of Ja Morant, the Grizzlies themselves are 0-2 with a less than ideal start to the season. When me and Mark come back, I'm going to get his thoughts on what he saw from the first two games, and we'll kind of, you know, delve into, you know, what's going wrong for the Grizzlies and hopefully what could be corrected going forward. Are we ready for some football? College football heads into the bowl season this week, and there's some big matchups that are going on this week and weekend. NFL regular season is finishing up with week 17 here in the playoff picture, though becoming more clear, there's still plenty at stake. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for 50% off, for your 50% off welcome bonus. NFL games this week, there are so many factors that could contribute to whether a team wins or loses and by how much. Make sure to check out all the great lines over at betonline.ag. The bowl season is in full swing with plenty of great matchups. Go to betonline.ag to not only enjoy your bowl game experience, but also make a little bit of profit with the great information that is at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at betonline_AG on Twitter to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. #BetOnline. The holidays are about giving, so I'm giving you a hot tip that can earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today wherever you get your podcasts. So, Mark, you made a very valid observation on Twitter either Saturday night. Yeah, it was Saturday night. And we'll get into that in just a second. You may make it in your comments on this question, but just after the first two games, your thoughts on the Grizzlies and where they stand right now as a roster?
Well, I mean, the roster, they're missing a bunch of people. I mean, that's kind of where it is. I mean, they're not a good team. They're just not a good team. Outside of John Morant, you know, they've had some issues in terms of the style they're playing, the rotations they're playing, but all that goes back to that they're missing two starters. Like that's a big deal. When you do that, I mean, it's still kind of a, when you have guys go out when they're bench guys, it's a bit different than when they're starters guys, because, you know, it is a domino effect. When you have starters out, you have to push guys into the starting lineup who were normally contributing off the bench, and you have guys that were never contributing on the bench have to go into the bench unit. So, like, you know, it's quite a bit of domino effect for the Grizzlies right now, and so that's the biggest issue, obviously. And I think people are lose sight of that, because you don't start, you know, you started the season without Jaren and without the idea of Justice Winslow, because we've never seen Justice Winslow in a Grizzlies uniform, so we don't know what he is, but the idea of him. So I think, you know, not starting with those guys off the bat, people like just seem to forget about it. Like, oh yeah, like, by the way, there is a 25 minute, 17 point per game player sitting on the bench who hasn't even gotten the game yet. And so that's a lot of minutes, a lot of points to be missing, especially for a team that's losing games by, you know, not that much. So so I think that's one part of it, is that you're missing starters, and the idea of when those guys get back, you're going to push Grayson and Kyle back to the bench, and Kyle made the bench unit so good last year. And Grayson, honestly, his minutes might disappear altogether. So I think he's probably the first guy you look at whenever those, you know, Justice and Jaren, each of those guys, you think they're going to be playing at least 20 minutes a game. And so that's 40 minutes right there they've got to come from somewhere right now. And so I think Grayson is an ideal candidate. I mean, Grayson's just, you know, he's been okay. Nothing outside of his shooting, and that hasn't even been an elite enough to really kind of outweigh anything else he's been doing. It's just been fine. It's very forgettable, if that makes sense. And so there's 40 minutes right there at least that got to come from somewhere. And so Grayson's probably the ideal candidate to probably not even play. And so you got to think about it like that. Those guys that are going to come onto the starting unit and push Kyle back to the bench, that starting unit will be much different in, you know, 2 months than it is right now. And so I think that's a big portion. I think people tend to forget that all the time. I think people, we need to constantly be reminded, like, hey, by the way, there's a lot of points and a lot of minutes sitting on the injury report right now. I think the other part of it is that Tyus Jones has not been good at all. He's been very bad. And he was one of the highlights of the bench last year. Like, as the bench was so good, is because Tyus was so good at putting people in the right spots, getting the ball in the right spots, the vision, seeing people where they needed to be. Like, that's a big portion of it. And he's also been really bad on defense the first two games. So, like, you know, he was pretty good on defense last year. So, like, I don't know what's up with Tyus, but he has been really, really bad. I think it's a big, big portion of the bench unit is not being as good as they have been last year, is that Tyus is not good. And so I think that's a big portion of it. You also have someone like Desmond Bain, who is on the bench or on the bench unit right now, coming off the bench, that, you know, is a rookie and still finding his way through, and his shooting is elite. Again, he's still got a ways to go on defense. But just, you know, getting in a groove with the second unit with Melton and with Tyus and with Brandon and with Gorgui Jang. Like, you know, I think those are all things and factors you have to consider. I mean, the Grizzlies are never going to be supposed to be good this year with Jaren and with Justice. And so you're seeing two starters out, the bench, and they're not really gelling. And, you know, again, they're just not good on defense and not good all around, because outside of Ja, they really struggle to score the basketball. I mean, they really struggle. It is excruciating to watch. And especially if Dylan doesn't have anything going, then it's even worse. So there's a lot of factors that are going on. It's not just one thing you can point to that say, okay, you know, this one thing, if it fixes, you'll, you know, finally get a team that looks amazing. And I don't think we're ever going to expect that, but we do got a long way to go with, you know, Jaren and Justice being out.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, with Justice and Jaren, we have a league average defense at best, let's just be honest. And now with them out, you have a team that's got to be super aggressive to overcome their lack of natural ability. Well, through them being aggressive, if that's going to sit there and cause the refs to call ticky-tack fouls, which we've seen them do, you know, the Grizzlies are kind of in a catch-22. If they try to play aggressive to play above their heads on defense, they're just going to send teams to the line. But if they don't play aggressive, teams are going to take advantage of it and be able to hit uncontested shots from the outside. I'm not saying that the refs are an excuse for the Grizzlies' ineffective defense. It's just where they are at with the roster that they have right now, and it puts them in a really, really hard situation. It puts this roster in a situation where even if it plays to its strengths, it still is probably going to have a few things outside of its control go its way to win, you know, several games in this stretch without Justice and Jaren. And the other thing about it is that if they can't play as aggressive as they want to on defense, that leaves, you know, those shots open, you know, uncontested, though the Grizzlies have done a decent job defending the three. But if they try to play effective defense and the teams get to the line, the other teams constantly living at the line really creates a hard wall to overcome for the Grizzlies to be able to try to retain or keep a lead. Because we've seen it. We've seen Ja have a career game. We've seen Kyle have a career game. And the overall impact of those were just us being able to have a chance of staying within 3 to 5 points of these teams. But it was an insurmountable lead to be able to come up and get because of the consistent free throws. So it just goes to me to show that despite great efforts on offense and an offense that overall has done decent, if it's Ja being as consistent as he can be, plus someone else stepping up, it's still not enough if you've been consistencies everywhere. Like, for instance, against Atlanta and their lack of bigs, Jonas only getting 6 field goal attempts, or Dylan taking, you know, 23 shots, making only 8 of them, and also, you know, having several instances with bad decisions. So this team is just not going to win many games, despite Ja being as great as he is, if there's inconsistencies up and down the roster elsewhere.
Well, I think defensively, you have to take it in two parts. Like, for the starters, Jonas is atrocious on defense. Like, he's atrocious. And, you know, he's got, like, his skill sets are very – the things he's good at, he's really good. He's a great rebounder. He's great around the rim offensively. But unfortunately, like, defensively, with Jaren out, because last year they were able to put Jaren on the athletic bigs, and if they were playing – you know, an athletic big and playing a traditional big or playing or two athletic bigs or whatever. Like, they could put Jaren in a more athletic big, and people had to contend with Jaren being able to move all the way out to the three-point line and be a shot blocker, as well as Jonas coming over from the help side, you know, additionally. And so that's a big part of it on the, you know, just on the starting unit for defense. Like, that takes a lot of things you're able to do away. It takes a lot of, you know, it gives – the other team so many, you know, so much more ability to do all the things they want to do instead of you forcing them into something that you want them to do. So, and that's what, you know, that's all basketball is on defense, is forcing them to the spots you want to force them to, forcing them to the sets you want to force them to. Like, that's, it is what it is. And then on the second unit, the second part of it, for the second unit, the rotations are just so slow because everybody on that unit is just okay at defense. Like, nobody's just great. I mean, you got Melton, who is an above average defender. But beyond that, I mean, he can't rotate to every spot on the floor. So, like, the rotations are just mediocre at best. They're very slow. And so, you know, I think some of that will you'll overcome some of that with time. And as you're playing more together, I hope, they'll overcome some of that in the rotations being just not where they need to be defensively over time. But the starting unit, there's no way you can overcome that until Jaren gets back. It is what it is. They have to, like, completely change the way they play Jonas to eliminate even some of the defensive liabilities that they have, because, you know, you can put Jaren in the pick and roll and survive when he'll be able to play high, and you can't do that with Jonas. So, you know, there's two parts of it, and some of it I think you can overcome and some of it you can't.
And we'll hit on to this now and also going into the third segment. But, you know, I think that also, you know, as you alluded to a few minutes ago, is that this was the worst time possible for regression to hit to start the season for several players. You mentioned Tyus, you mentioned Jonas, you mentioned Brandon Clark. And because those players are getting slow starts to the season, the Grizzlies' strengths, the main strengths that they had last year with their ability to produce in the paint on both ends of the floor and their bench, are simply not there at the time that they have to be. With less talent on the roster to be able to work with, the Grizzlies need every bit that they can to feature their strengths, which is getting the ball in the paint on offense and using that to open up shots on the outside and protecting the rim on defense, and their bench being able to make up, try to get back into the game or extend leads, versus other second units. And none of those things are there right now because those three players are struggling. The good thing is, Mark, is that our starters overall are actually, they have a positive rating of 10.0, a net rating of 10.2. So our starters are making the difference. But our bench, and Jonas especially, they've got to get back going so we can start featuring our strengths to support our starting lineup.
Well, I think one of the biggest, and I think people should go back and really, even if you don't watch the whole game, you should go back and look at some of the spots where Atlanta utilized team rebounding the most. And I mentioned this on Twitter, that like the Grizzlies are sometimes playing, Brandon Clark at the five, and they're playing extremely small with either Jonas and four guards or Jing and four guards or something like that. That's great, that's great if you want to do that. But if you're going to get out-rebounded by 15 every game, then it doesn't matter. Like the offense that you have out there isn't going to matter, being able to play fast with guards if you get out-rebounded consistently. But the Atlanta Hawks were able to do that and do it well. They out-rebounded everybody on the court because even with Jonas out there, if you go back and look at some of those defensive possessions, even with Jonas out there, literally he was having a rebound around five people. Every time there was a shot up, defensively, the Hawks had five guys around Jonas, and a lot of times he just couldn't gather the rebound because obviously he can't fight one on four or one on five. It's just not going to work. So I think the Grizzlies need to take a little bit more out of the Hawks playbook. If they're going to play small, that's awesome. I love the idea of playing small with four guards and running all those things because that's where the Grizzlies excel, is being able to push the pace on offense. You saw that again last year. They're number one way of getting points is on the fast break. That is their number one way of getting points on offense was last year. It has to be again this year. And that's great. But if you can't team rebound and keep the, keep the offensive rebounds to a minimum, then it's really going to be a problem. You can't continue to do that style. Like Taylor has to be smart enough to understand, and they have to be able to see that as a coaching staff, go, Hey, this isn't working the way it's designed, the way we're trying to do it. Either people are going to have to put more effort and energy into rebounding and really focus on that, or B, we're going to have to change out, the style of play or the personnel. Like they're going to have to be able to understand, and that's going to be the biggest, task for Taylor Jenkins in his second year and his coaching staff, is identifying those mistakes, identifying those weaknesses, and how do we overcome them, or identifying those things they're good at, and how do we, how do we do this more? How do we get more out of what we have on the floor? And so you can't do it any more Ja Morant. You're getting as much as you can out of Ja Morant as you possibly can right now. So that's not it. You can't look to Ja Morant to do more. You have to look somewhere else. And I think that's going to be the biggest task for them this year, especially right now.
Well, I think that in terms of looking elsewhere besides Ja Morant, the Grizzlies may have that in an unexpected source. And however impactful that will be, at least they have a sensible option that they can rely on. Coming up, me and Mark will discuss, did Ja Morant get a new sidekick Saturday night, and can that last? We'll talk about it in the third segment here in Locked On Grizzlies. We've talked about it all year, and that is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. That is Built Bar, the great addition to your day that not only adds health benefits, but is very versatile. You could have it in the morning for breakfast. You could have it in the afternoon as a snack, before or after a workout. However you choose to enjoy it, there were 12 great flavors to make it enjoyable, and again, add the health benefits that we all want to add to our day. Well, the key thing about a product remaining great is having a support staff that allows for it to be able to change over time and remain a great product, and that's what they're doing at Built Bar. Now, you have 6 additional flavors, so you have 18 different flavors that you could choose from if you go to BuiltBar.com, and also if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, and you put in the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Bar, plus, while supplies last, a free cooler. So that's not only 6 new flavors to choose from, so with 18 flavors there now, You're likely going to find one that certainly meets your taste preferences, but you could get a free cooler while supplies last and 20% off using the promo code LOCKEDON. But I can tell you this, whenever you add Built Bar to your daily routine, it's going to be there to stay. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKEDON for your opportunity to get a free cooler and 20% off your next order of Built Bar. On Wednesday, we'll be glad to welcome back site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, Joel Molinax, to the show as we discuss the start to the season. If you listened in last time he and Joe talked about the Grizzlies, we discussed, you know, that it could be a reality. The Grizzlies could struggle if there were inconsistencies, you know, on the roster and their performance. There certainly has been that. So we'll discuss both the positives and the negatives, both of what has occurred and what's coming forward. Looking forward to speaking with Joe again on Wednesday here at Locked on Grizzlies. So, Mark, I don't know if you remember or not, but we did an entire podcast back, was it July? I believe that it was July, at the end of July when the Grizzlies were scrimmaging, about what if this newly found confidence in a catch-and-shoot three-point shot from Kyle Anderson, what if it's real? What if it's sustainable? Would that open up his game? And the thing about it is we didn't know it at the time. It was hard to really track because there was such a split in time from March through the suspension of the season to the bubble till now. But Kyle Anderson is a different player, feeling more comfortable in Taylor Jenkins' system, being healthy. The shot is certainly improved. It's not sitting there, you know, just a difference-making shot now. But overall, he is just contributing left and right. Your thoughts on kind of his emergence? I know it's only two games, but do you feel that this Kyle Anderson certainly is the type of, you know, supporting cast member that can truly make a difference in a variety of ways, you know, as the season progresses?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Kyle Anderson, I mean, if people listen to this show long enough, they know that how much I like Kyle Anderson. I think his basketball IQ is off the charts. I mean, he's one of he probably is the smartest basketball player on the Grizzlies team. Maybe him and Ja 1A, 1B, but his IQ is just off the charts. He's extremely smart, understands what to do with the basketball in certain situations, understands where to go with the basketball. So I think in that scenario, yeah, Kyle Anderson is always going to be a plus guy for you when he's on the court. The problem was with him before, obviously, was the shooting. And the shooting, his shot technically looks obviously much better. So it looks the same as it did in July. It looks fluid. And so that's a huge thing. You just got to get him the confidence to be able to take the shots more. I think that's where you have to go now. I think you've got the shot down. Like, hey, look, the shot looks good. Like, we've got to continue to keep shooting, though. We can't shoot 1.5 times a game. We got to shoot 4 times a game. And that's Taylor Jenkins' style of offense as well. He wants to be able to shooting 3-point shots a lot. He wants those shots to go up all the time. And so I think that's the next step with Kyle Anderson, is getting him the confidence to be able to shoot a lot. You know, I also think that Kyle Anderson is ultimately a role player in this league. I don't think that he is a starter level guy. I think even at his like apex, if you will, right now, I think if you have Kyle Anderson starting for you, you're probably a lottery team. And I think like if you have Kyle Anderson and Grayson Allen starting for you, you're probably a lottery team, which is what we've seen right now. But that being said, I think Kyle Anderson can be extremely effective off the bench. I think against other bench units, he can be very, very good because he can also have the ability to put the ball in his hands because your job's not going to be out there. And I think he has the ability to really make plays out there. So I think that would be fun to watch how we, you know, when Justice Winslow comes back, presumably he will take Kyle Anderson's starting spot. And when that pushes Kyle back to the bench, like, you know, Kyle and Justice are a lot of the same players. They're kind of a not the same 1A, 1B, but they have a lot of the same traits in terms of skill sets, the way they play the game. And so I think that will be interesting to see, have one of those type of guys on the floor like all the time. I think that will be exciting to watch. I think that Kyle Anderson's his role in this league is off the bench. He's a role player for a team, for a good team. I think that's where he will excel the most.
I agree completely. I don't think that you're going to get this version of Kyle for a long stretch, especially as a starter. I think that while the difference that he makes with his intelligence and his instincts, it certainly helps to maximize the physical tools that he has. The limitations that he has eventually will catch up with him as there's a bigger book on who he is now around the league against other starting lineups. Teams will be able to adjust to him as they focus on him more, and I think that limits him in a starting lineup. I do think, though, we get an enhanced version of the Kyle that we saw last year now that he's healthy against those bench units, where his IQ and his intelligence, like you mentioned, are going to have a better opportunity to create the difference. And that really is intriguing for this Grizzlies bench unit. But a big reason why it's intriguing is because what he can do with Tyus Jones, who we've talked about a bit, but also the Grizzlies' biggest advantage off the bench, and that's Brandon Clark. And right now, Mark, I know that it's, you know, may still be dealing with injuries. He obviously didn't get the start to the season that, you know, we had hoped he would. But Kyle Anderson, I won't say Brandon Clark looks lost, but he certainly is nowhere near as effective as he was last year. And I just simply want for him to be able to hit those floaters and make the difference inside that he did. You know, not necessarily worry about the shot right now, but just your thoughts on Brandon Clark. I'm not saying he's broken, but, you know, there's clearly reason for at least a bit of concern right now.
Well, Brandon Clark's biggest positive and biggest ability is his athleticism. That is what Brandon Clark is. I saw all year last year, him running down the floor, alley-oops, lobs, dunks. That is his biggest positive, is his athleticism. And he looks hurt. And so, you know, he had a groin injury, and that's going to affect your athleticism quite a bit, is your groin and hamstring injuries that the players get. So I wouldn't worry about Brandon Clark right now, honestly. Like, his shot wasn't good last year. I mean, I know we complained about his shot. It looks ugly. It looks like garbage. It looked like garbage last year. There was a lot that went in. That was great and all, but, I mean, his shot is definitely not the same. I will say that a groin injury, if you're not healthy, that can affect your shot, but I don't think it can affect your shot the way his shot is broken. His shot is broken in terms of he holds the ball too long. It's not fluid. It's almost like a little bit like Kyle's. There was a hitch at the top of the arc. It hit a hitch at the release point. And so that is really just a broken shot. They're going to have to work on that shot throughout the season, throughout the few years. But again, that's not where Brandon Clark excels. Brandon Clark excels being athletic and getting out and beating people with his just pure athleticism and size and strength. Like that's even the rebounding, he's a better rebounder just because he's mostly more athletic than most people out on the court. So I think that's the biggest issue with Brandon Clark, is that he's still hurt. And without that athleticism being there for him to really dominate people think that he's like regressed in some way. And I just don't think that's the case. I think he just hurt, and whenever he probably gets fully healthy, we will see him, you know, be more athletic. And you'll see, oh, wow, he's doing more things. He's, you know, probably running down the court faster. He's getting lobs. He's getting dunks. I mean, every shot that he's seen so far, he would have dunked last year. He hasn't dunked this year. He's just laid it up. So, like, I think that goes a long way to saying what Brandon Clark will or will not be. He's still probably a good player. You don't come into the league like he did last year and be as good as he was, as quick as he is, and not understand the game of basketball at the NBA level. And so I think for him, it's just a health issue. And once he gets better, it will be very different. I wouldn't worry about Brandon Clark right now, because his shot's broken, and it was last year, and it will be this year. That's not his ability. That's not who he is as a fundamental player. If he ever adds a three-point shot, he will be a really, really good player, but that's really not who he is.
And I think that's the thing. You know, it's only been two games, you know, and you can count the preseason in that spine. And yes, he has looked bad. You know, there's no doubt there. But, you know, Taylor Jenkins, obviously, you know, is smart enough to know, okay, you know, need to get back to, you know, really focusing on his strengths, making sure he's healthy, and working from that to expand his game, you know, when you feel he's comfortable back in doing what he needs to do. But I mean, the thing also needs to be really pointed out, the Grizzlies, you don't want to make injuries an excuse. But beyond Justice and Melton, the Grizzlies really are hurting when it comes to, you know, their big depth. You know, it's clear Gorgui Dieng just does not fit what Taylor Jenkins wants to do. And now you've got Tillman, you've got Killian Tilly, you've got Jonte Porter, young players who theoretically do fit what Taylor Jenkins wants to do. They're all unavailable. So you're going to have to get creative. And we saw that in it with versus Atlanta three different times for multiple minutes, three to four guard lineups with Kyle, you know, at the four and Brandon at the five, and even a stretch where, you know, John Contra and Desmond Bane were at the four with Clark at the five. But John Contra and Desmond Bane are looking like they're going to step into bigger roles, especially with Melton being out. And if these three and four guard lineups are going to be played, Mark, just your thoughts on them. I know we've talked about Contra before. Sure, he's probably not a long-term significant rotation player, but I do think he adds value. And of course, I do think Desmond Bane getting this experience could help him develop quicker than most may anticipate.
Well, I mean, I think if John Contreras playing rotation minutes for your team, you're probably not a good team. That's what it is. I mean, the John Contreras is not a good basketball player. He does a few things well. He's a good defender. He's a good rebounder. But beyond that, he's not that good of a player. And there's a reason that he's on such a small contract for the Grizzlies. Again, I think John Contreras is fine for bench depth. If you have him in there, like you mentioned, when D'Anthony Melton is hurt, he's somebody who can step in on a bench unit and not, like, lose you games. Like, he's not going to be a negative out there. He's not going to make dumb mistakes. He's a smart player. Like, but in terms of, like, an NBA-level basketball player, if John Contreras is playing rotation minutes for you every night, you're probably not a good team. That being said, if Desmond Bane is not playing more minutes for you every night, you're probably not a good team. Desmond Bane is a quality player. Like I mentioned before, his shooting is elite. Like, and I mean elite. There are a lot of people who struggle to come into this league that were good shooters in college that struggle with shooting in the NBA, and that's not him. It is an elite skill that he has, and his defense, like I mentioned, is not quite there yet. But I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again. Like, there are a lot of players in this league, i.e. Kyle Korver, who has elite shooting and terrible defense and still made a career out of it and still been a very, very positive NBA player. So I think the Grizzlies should give all of John Contreras' minutes to Desmond Bane. I don't think John Contreras is playing at all. I mean, if anything, this is a time when you're losing, especially, is to, you know, really try to develop your young guys and see what you have, especially in rookies like Desmond Bane, who can be quality players. I mean, whatever. If you want to give some minutes to John Contreras to see what, you know, theoretically what you have against NBA talent, you know, on a regular basis, sure, go ahead. But you need to invest in players you invest in. And if you're going to spend a high pick on Desmond Bane, you need to invest the time and see what you have in him. And there was what better time to do that when you're already going to lose every game, most likely. Like, if, you know, the longer that Jaren and Justice are out, the more games you're going to lose, because, again, that's a lot of your offense right there. So you might as well see what you have in Desmond Bane. There's a good chance you probably get more offense from him than to do anybody else. I mean, if you can get him in a good, you know, understanding of how, you know, the offense works and where he needs to be and when he needs to let the shots fly, and there's a good chance he surpasses Dylan Brooks real quick. I mean, Dylan Brooks is only good when he has the ball in his hand. But Desmond Bane can be good when he doesn't, and really quite, you know, quite a really good catch and shoot player. Like, that's his skill set is catch and shoot threes, not off the dribble threes. And so, two very different players, but I think a catch and shoot 3-point shooter is a much better player alongside Ja Morant than a off the dribble type of guy who Dylan Brooks is. I think Dylan Brooks has got a great career in this league as a six man off the bench type of guy, because I think he could really excel against guys, bench level guys in the NBA. But he just really struggles against starters. But yeah, I think Desmond Bane is you know, it's hard to say right now, but you'd like to think he's probably the future your two, you know, at least your guard minutes. For the most part, I don't think that they're like a champion level team with Desmond Bane at the two. I don't think that's it, but I think he can be very beneficial to this team long term.
And I think just in general, you know, from this conversation, you know, I think it's okay to have two truths that may seem conflicting, but that you can accept as true. Yes, it's true to see the progression in the abilities of players like Grayson Allen and John Contra and Kyle Anderson under Taylor Jenkins' system. It's wonderful to see that. It's a compliment to Jenkins that he can really help players develop up and down the roster. But it's also true that if those guys are getting you 20, 25, and 30 minutes of playing time each night, that I agree with you. That means that your overall talent ceiling as a team is not too high. And that's just, you know, that's something that's going to have to be kept in mind. That's not, there's nothing wrong with the Grizzlies having the mentality that they want to make the playoffs. That right there is what hopefully will eventually, when we get our full roster back, make the difference to where maybe we can work our way back into contention. But at the end of the day, if those...
I also think you make a really good point. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, but I think you also make a really good point. I think people need to understand that, you know, NBA finals type of teams and conference finals type of teams, they need the Kyle Andersons. They need the Dylan Brookses. They need those guys. I know, like, I'm talking bad about them sometimes, but those are the guys you still need to be able to play 15 and 17 minutes a night off the bench. Like, you need that depth to be able to win championships, to be able to have a survive a long season in the NBA. Like, you're going to go through injuries. You need that type of depth to continue to be good when you have your main starters, you know, night in and night out. So, yes, while it's true, and I agree with you, you know, we can't be playing, you know, those guys 20, 25 minutes a night. But at the same time, you do have to have them on the roster as well to give you depth to be a quality NBA team if you want to win championships in this league. And I think that's also something that we didn't really talk about, but, you know, Taylor Jenkins is going to have, we're really going to see what Taylor Jenkins is as a coach right now. Like in this, I mean, he did great last year, but like this next like 2 months, we'll really see how good of a coach Taylor Jenkins is and what he's able to do and what he has, because it ain't much right now.
Correct. And the progression of these guys are great when you see what they've done, but you've also got to put them in the position that they're meant to be in. And several Grizzlies right now are miscast. They are in bigger roles than they're supposed to be in, where they're just naturally going to get exposed against better talents. It's okay for that to happen because you don't have a full roster. And it's okay to feel that when you do have a full roster, you could be in the playoff discussion. But the caveat to that is that how soon are we going to have the ability to see that? If we go a month or more without having a full roster in place, if these two games are indicative of what the Grizzlies are going to be like on a consistent basis, which it's hard to say that that's not the case, then does the hole get dug too deep for the Grizzlies to come out of? Time will tell, but that's just the thing to say. And that's what we've been talking about, you know, this all offseason. You can still see the Grizzlies progress. We've seen Ja progress. We've seen the other players that I mentioned progress, but also see the Grizzlies struggle because other teams are more on farther down the competitive timeline. And it's just hard to win in a league when you have several players who are playing more than they actually should. But Mark, you know, hey, it's great to talk with you again. Obviously, we're going to have you on here as frequently as possible. What's going on in your world? Are you looking forward to anything as far as the Grizzlies go when it comes to the new year, or anything going on your end as we enter the new year?
Oh, everything's great. You know, kids are happy. Family's great. So hopefully we'll get a better 2021 in terms of the way our world and things that are going on. So we'll see. But our family personally is doing great, and we're having a lot of extra time with those guys. So it's fun. And, you know, hopefully, like you said, if we get 25 more games with this Grizzlies team, it'll probably be a long, long 2 months for some people. But I'd encourage people to hang in there. This isn't the team that team even remotely close to what, you know, what they had planned on having for the Grizzlies roster. So we'll see for sure.
His name is Mark King. We always love having him on. You know, there's a reason why this show grew so much with him as the host. And it's just a pleasure to always catch up with him. Mark, if you'll stick with us, and we'll obviously have Mark several more times this season. You can follow Mark at King_producer, myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, and find it anywhere you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone. What we're going to do is we're going to end this show now, but we will be back with you with the second show today, previewing the week for the Grizzlies, discussing the Nets and the Celtics on the road trip, obviously. But until that time, it's a pleasure. Hope you have a great Monday, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.